It's great to be with you again and to bring the Word of God to you this morning and to see so many of you who I know so well. There's just something about Christmas that gets us all. No matter our age, Christmas is always the special time. And I guess presents come into it a whole lot. Right now, my age, all I want is family. Christmas presents, not a big deal. But I remember as a child, and you know your children and your grandchildren, and how they just want one more present, and they've just been given this present, and their cousin or brother or sister gets that present, and I want that as well, and just that lie that is inbred in us from the very beginning with Adam and Eve of just one more thing will make us happy. Just, we got everything but one more thing. That's the lie that Adam and Eve believed. And that seems to be ingrained in so much of us. I want another present. But today, I don't want us to focus on presence, but on God's presence. I don't want you to think about a Christmas present, but God's presence in your life. We need to be aware far more of God with us and crave more of His presence at this Christmas time. We've already had the scripture read to us, and so I'm going to jump right down to verse 23 of Matthew chapter 1. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And the first thing I want to highlight this morning is God is with us, not against us. God is with us, not against us. Emmanuel, literally translated, means God with us. If you wanted to know Jesus' full names, it would be Jesus Christ Emmanuel, sort of Jesus' first name and like Emmanuel surname type of thing. It's easy to look around and look at the wonder of creation and marvel at it and see God everywhere. But then when you look around at your own life and circumstances and loneliness and fears, we're often tempted to believe God is not with me. God has somehow left me. Quite recently, about 2 months ago, I saw a doctor, a surgeon, and he said, John, the only solution for you is for us to remove your esophagus, to remove your stomach, and remove part of your colon, and pull the bit of your colon up here and make a pouch. And then describe the quality of life after that. He said, I want to send you to another surgeon for a second opinion. Went to that surgeon, he said, the only solution for you is the complete removal of your esophagus, your stomach, and part of your colon, and your lifestyle will be awful after that. They then sent me to a third professor of gastrointestinal surgery at UCT. He is amazing. And she said to me, if you have this operation, you will die. She said it 5 times. But during this time, when we were waiting to see this professor, it was about 4 or 5 weeks, I felt like, God, where are you? I mean, theologically, I knew God is with me. But the presence of God seemed far away, because this awful looming gloom was sort of surrounding me. And as this professor said 5 times, you will die, it was like Thank you, Lord, I've got my answer. And the peace of God descended, and the presence of God has been manifest with us since then. God with us. God has literally moved in with us. John 1 verse 14 says, the Word, another name for Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Gospel of John literally says, God moved in with us on earth, right here in the deep south of Cape Town, right across the globe. But you say, I don't feel his presence. And that's our biggest problem. We listen to our feelings, we listen to our circumstances, and we miss the reality of the presence of God. And so if you want the Christmas story, in three words, it's this. God became human. The entirety of God in a human form. Now, I, during this past week, have been looking around for a few day old, a baby that's just a couple of days old, and hoped to have one that I could cradle. I couldn't find one, but I did bring this little doll along with it. And I want to try and show you, imagining for a moment, this was a real baby. This size, when Mary cradled Jesus, was God. All of the entirety of God. Everything of God packed into human form. Not one piece of God missing. 100% God in this human form. This incredible creator who has made us so intricate and so wonderfully made, but in human form. The one who created the entire universe. This size in human form. I read this past week an article on how big space is. How God created space. Pioneer 10, which was a spacecraft sent up on the 2nd of March 1972 from Cape Canaveral to go and explore basically Jupiter. It was the fastest man-made spacecraft back in those days. It reached the moon in just 11 hours. That's Pioneer 10. And its whole reason for its existence was to go and take a few photos and get whatever data it could on the whole issue of what Jupiter looked like. Well, it continued and continued, and 31 years later, it sent out its last signal in January 2003. However, it kept going, and after 45 years, they tracked it 11 billion miles from the Earth in interstellar space. But now they're predicting that what is left of it will reach Taurus, that red eye constellation, listen, in 2 million years' time. Now, if that helps you to get an idea of the size of this incredible universe, that God in human form created. It's gone 11 billion miles in 45 years of it. However, to get to the other end of what we think is the other end of space, it'll take another 2 million years to get there. Amazing! The creator of all, at Christmas time, wrapped into a tiny baby, totally dependent on an inexperienced teenager. It says, mystery all, the hymn writer says, the immortal dies. I'll change that to this. It says, mystery all, the eternal is born into humanity. And you know, after I've been there for a couple of thousand days or years, I'm going to try and get an appointment with Jesus and sort of ask him and say, so tell me, how was it to give up all and to become this tiny baby? How did it feel to be wrapped in a cloth, being cradled by some inexperienced young teenager? How did it feel to sacrifice your power? When you were a baby in Mary's arms, did you still know what was going on in the whole of the universe and the cosmos? When Herod issued a proclamation to kill all baby boys under the age of 2, did you for a moment then think about, well, I can just get rid of Herod, call on a legion of angels to do so? How did it feel to be helpless in the arms of a teenager, and yet still to be God, fully in control? How could it be God with us, the perfect one, cradled by imperfect, poor, homeless teenagers? I want to ask him, God, how did it feel? How did it pan out? How was it for you in that situation? I'm going to put my little version of the size of God who fills the entire universe. God with us. God present with you right now. Emmanuel, God with us. The Word became flesh. Jumped a long way forward with me. Go back or just turn it off. Yeah. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory. The glory, as it were, in a baby. The glory of the one and only who came to us from the Father, full of grace and truth. God moved in with us. That's the Christmas story. So God has not given up on you, my friend, my brother, my sister. In fact, he is for you. He is not going to give up on you. You may be here today and feel that God is far from you, or you are far from God. My friend, God's love may relentlessly chase you and cause things to happen in your life that will make return to him. God's love for you has not ended. Even though you might have messed up, you feel so badly. My friend, understand. Bethlehem, the birth of Jesus, is actually all about God calling you into close personal relationship with you. And then ultimately his death on the cross, extending his hand of grace and calling you to himself. Romans 8, verse 31 says, what shall we say then in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his only son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? My friend, God loves you. He always says. In Emmanuel, he reaches out to you. God is with us, not against us. Secondly, far more quickly, God is with us in your time of need. God is with us in your time of need. God isn't absent from you in your times of need. Now, in the Old Testament, before the first Christmas, the Spirit of God came and went. It would say the Spirit of the Lord came upon so-and-so and he prophesied saying, or the Spirit of the Lord came and revealed himself in such and such a way. And then he left. And so for many, there were times when God was not present. When you track the life of Abraham, there's a gap of 13 years in which he didn't hear from God at all. God was absent. In the Old Testament, he came and went. Came and went. But in Christmas, he came to dwell permanently. There was a 6-week gap after his ascension and then the presence of the Holy Spirit. But Christmas marks God coming with us, to us, in our times of need. And so God understands your weaknesses. God understands your weaknesses. Hebrews 4, verse 15 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize or to suffer with you in your weakness. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, yet, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us into our times of need. My friend, this verse in Hebrews says God suffers with you, sympathizes with you in our weaknesses. But God not only understands your weaknesses, he understands your fears. In the Old Testament, God promised Israel, in Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified. There's a word for someone there today. Do not be afraid or terrified. Whatever is happening, do not be afraid or terrified because of it. The Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. And we hear the same message in the New Testament, Hebrews 13, verse 5. God has said, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God with us. He who resided in heaven, co-equal, co-eternal with the Father and the Spirit, willingly descended into our world. He breathed our air. He felt our pain. He knows our sorrows. He died for our sins. He understands your weaknesses and fears. God is not absent. He is with you. God is with us, not against us. God is with us in our time of need. And thirdly, God is with us. You don't need to be alone. Jesus' final words on earth are recorded in Matthew, and they're a promise again to be with us. Matthew 28, verse 20. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus' coming as a baby. Jesus coming at Christmas time shows God's intent to be with us throughout our lives. Isaiah 41:10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. And so today the Lord says to you, and I felt this so strongly in preparing, my child, I am with you. Stop doubting. Stop fearing. I am with you. Draw near to me. Call out to me. Crave my presence. I will not forsake you. Romans 8, verse 38 says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to what? Separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. His perpetual presence, Emmanuel, God with us. My friend, if you have received the gift of the presence of God into your life, then you belong to Him. And nothing, no one can separate you from His love. And so as we come on Wednesday to Christmas and in the build-up of the next 3 days, let's not be thinking about more presents that we need to give or get to give to somebody else, but more of God's presence in our lives. Understand, God is with you. God is for you. God surrounds you. God is not against you. God is not distant. I remember 40 years ago, most of us will remember, there was some song about God is at a distance watching over us. How does it go?
At a
distance, He's watching over you. That's rubbish. God is with you, my friend. Right here in this book. Crave His presence. As you walk whatever journey you're facing, call out to Him. He is with you. Let's pray again. I don't know who you are. I don't know where you're at in your relationship to God. But I want you to know, all of God is with you and is available to all of you. And so as we bow in prayer, take a moment in silence to say, Lord, draw near to me and help me to draw near to you. Lord, draw near to me. Even when I wander from you or doubt you, help me to crave your presence. You tell God in your own way. James 4 verse 8 says, come near to God and He will come near to you. And so while He's with us on earth, we have a responsibility to draw near to Him. And so in these moments say, Holy Spirit, come fill me afresh. Lord, as humans, we so need to feel you. We so reliant on our feelings. feelings and hormones and stuff like that, Lord. I pray in every dark and doubting moment, we would know your presence as we crave it more and more. In Jesus' name, amen.